What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode here of quarantined Hard State Review. I shouldn't say quarantined. I'm actually not quarantined because I work a job that deems me to be an essential employee. So I am not quarantined, but you're listening to this, hopefully quarantined, hopefully you're social distancing. I'm still practicing social distancing. I just hit everybody upside the head with a stick every time they get within 6 feet of me. It's actually not a stick. That's a lie. It's more of like a tape measure. You know, you hold it out to 6 feet, and then you just kind of poke it. It's like we were almost all prepared for this. Like when we were doing middle school dances, and you had to have your arms fully extended. You know, when you're dancing with your quote unquote partner, so kind of like that, except maybe more like six arms instead of just your own arm's length. But I digress. Thanks for listening. We're happy to have you back here. I've got another great guest lined up today. Obviously, that's not an April Fool's joke. It is April 1st when I'm sitting here doing this right now. But no April Fool's joke here. And if I see anybody making any April Fool's Day jokes, it's going to be the last time I ever see you, because this is just not a good time for it. The only appropriate April Fool's Day joke would be if COVID-19 was just an April Fool's joke and everything was fine. However, that's just not the case. So anyway, I'm going to stop talking soon because there's not much else I could really say. There's not many witty things I could come up with. I'm not that smart. So we've got Celeste Tosher on with us today, who's probably, you know, more known, I suppose, as Talker. You know, she's been doing music for a very long time. You know, just kind of I don't know, not necessarily in the background, that's not a great way to say it, but she toured with Friendship. And now she's got her own project that she's kind of taken full control of, you know, and it's one of those things that, you know, if you haven't listened to it yet, you still have plenty of time to. Obviously, I know you're not doing anything else right now anyway. So while you're just sitting inside your house, this Talker is definitely some music I would recommend. It's music I have been recommending to a lot of people that ask, you know, what's something new that's coming out that I don't know, or what should I know? And that is a question that has come up every once in a while when I talk to people about, obviously, working in music and doing this is one of those things that obviously is a common question. And so Talker is one of those I've been, you know, kind of spitting out a lot of people. So while I'm sitting here talking to you now, go listen to Talker. Is, you know, listen to this episode, listen to her talk about her career in music. And we talk a little bit about Jonas Brothers. We talk a little about Nickelback. No spoilers, but, you know, you'll listen and find out. But, you know, it's a great time. It's a great conversation. I think I had a lot of fun talking to her. I'm hoping to have her back on at some point again to where, you know, we can just either follow up or, you know, dive deeper into the Nickelback discography, despite knowing that probably nobody else wants that besides us. But anyway, I'm going to stop talking. As always, there will be a bit of an ad, and then you'll get to my conversation with Celeste. All right. Hello, Celeste. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Good. It's also a nice Friday evening, so this is a good way to spend the evening, I suppose.
Yeah, it's that whole social quarantine. Yeah. Perfect for this kind of thing.
Yeah, we really, I don't think we could have picked a better time. We might can't do anything else, so we might as well just stay inside and just record a whole bunch of episodes of this.
Right.
Yeah, so how's that, I guess, how's that affecting you, if it is at all, or how much you've been dealing with that?
I mean, it has been affecting me, but not, I feel lucky that it hasn't been too bad. Like, I was going to go to South By, Obviously, like, that's not happening anymore, but luckily I hadn't actually spent any money on it because I was going to stay, like, with a friend for free. We were going to take my car out there, so I, you know, it's just going to save me money. Like, I didn't lose
Sure, there you go.
It's definitely a bummer, but I don't know, it feels like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, it does, right? Yeah, it feels like a start to a really fucked up movie.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just going to get worse. And, I mean, hey, listen, saving money is always good, but it's kind of like it's definitely a bummer when all these things are getting canceled. And I'm just like, I don't know how long it's going to go. You know,
yeah.
I mean, are we going to get, like, summer festivals canceled? I have no idea. It's really strange.
I know, it really is. And it's like, everything is, like, constantly changing. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, everything is just bad. Like, this is just not. This is really the definition of we're just kind of fucked and we don't really know, you know, what's going on, unfortunately. So unfortunately, it's affecting a lot of people in music, right? So it's not a good time.
Not the best, no.
No, hopefully it passes, but we'll see. You know, and
I guess I just wanted to just obviously just talk about you, I guess, and kind of just get, I guess, first just kind of how you started in music, kind of what I guess drove you to this and this luxurious career of sorts, right? Of being in music.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I don't feel like anything necessarily drove me to do it besides just like doing it. I've been playing music my whole life, and like I started playing instruments when I was super young and started songwriting when I was really young, and was super lucky to have parents that were supportive of that and were supportive of me like studying music in college and then like moving to Los Angeles and all this stuff. So I think it's kind of just like always been the thing, which I feel lucky that, yeah, despite the fact that it's like a career that leaves me broke and like not luxurious at all, at least I've always known that I want to do it. Like I never had to struggle to figure that part out.
There you go. Yeah, there's a lot of downsides to it. It's certainly not the most stable career, right? I mean, it's just brutal. Like I obviously work, like write about music and do this, but I also have like an entire other job, and I'm just like, I don't know where I decided that this was like the route I wanted to take, but I'm like in deep now and I can't just be like, all right, well, fuck it, I'm out.
Well, totally. And like also, yeah, like there are moments where I'm like, wow, I feel like everything I do is so insignificant, nothing matters, and I hate this. But then also like I would be so unhappy doing anything else, so.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's worth it. It is most of the time, I guess. It certainly, I mean, I guess it is. It's just very, sometimes you get like, wow, like what is the point of this? Does it even matter? But as long as it matters to you, then everyone else can just, figure it out for themselves. So I guess, you said you learned a lot of instruments. What was the first one you picked up and decided that I guess you were going to really focus on learning?
Yeah, so I actually started playing piano when I was like 4 years old. And my dad taught me, which I'm still amazed that that was like even the thing that was possible, just with my like attitude. But yeah, my dad taught me piano, and I was really focused on that. And I was honestly like quite good at piano. I mean, I still play and everything. It's like sitting deep in my subconscious somewhere. But piano was like the thing. And then I picked up guitar at some point in there, and I also did I studied cello
Yeah, there
from
you go.
ages
Okay.
like 8
All
to
right.
18. So there you go.
So a
But
little bit of everything.
a little bit of everything. But I didn't really like, it's funny, I've been playing guitar for so long, but I really only used it as a tool to songwrite for a really long time. And it wasn't until like my very early 20s that I really started to dig in on it and take it seriously and like actually try to get good at it, which I think actually helped how my music developed, because you know, if I hadn't really been using actual guitar that much before, like now that's something different. So yeah.
So I guess do you do everything like for your music when you're recording and everything? Do you do, I guess, as much as you can with that, right? Like on your own?
Yeah, I think between me and like a couple of my friends who will produce some of the songs with me, we're just kind of playing it ourselves. Like I, play guitar and some bass on the record and synth parts and stuff. It's really just like the drums where we have to call in my drummer to record it. Except we did record drums ourselves on like a couple of songs where it's like a super simple part, actually.
There
But
we
yeah,
go.
not
Okay, all right.
wouldn't put that on a resume.
That's after cello and somewhere. I mean, it's just gonna be down
Yeah.
there,
It's way down. It's like I don't have the coordination.
No, I mean, listen, you never know. If you can do as much of the things that you can already do, who knows? I mean, listen, just sit down. We're gonna be quarantined for a while. You never know if you can sit there
Dude,
and
I'm gonna
just
come out of
develop
this.
it.
Yeah, I'm gonna come out of this being like a pro drummer.
Listen,
So
studio
there
sessions and all. That's what LA is. You can be like, hey, if anyone needs, come over, wear the hazmat suit, all drum will be all right.
Exactly.
Oh, I wanted to ask it because I have no idea the answer to this question. It's such like a terrible thing. Like I don't know why. I feel like I should know this, but I'm gonna ask anyway. Like so the name Talker, I saw from the very email a long time ago that from Jamie that it's just how people always mispronounce your last name, right? So I'm just gonna how do you pronounce your last? Just so I can get it out of the way.
Yeah, so it's pronounced Tosher, which isn't like that outlandish or
Yeah, that's a,
anything,
that's, yeah.
but But the way that it's spelled, you know, it's like a lot of people don't really know what to do with that. They say toucher, tosher, talker, whatever. It's never tosher. It's like
okay.
a million other things, but they never get that quite right. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's. I guess that's. Yeah. That's not that complicated. I don't know what I was thinking. Like, I don't know what I, you know, when I see that it's the pronounced talker, I'm like, or people pronounce it talker, I'm like, I don't know where you get that. Like, I don't know how you look at that and get talker, but I also don't know, like, what the right way is.
Yeah.
Like, it's just very strange that people are like, yeah, I'll talker. And it's like, no, that's not, like, the spelling of it's just not there. I guess I don't understand, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think people just, like, look at it and don't know what to do with it, and they just, like, make something up. Which,
they don't
not
know what to do with
too...
their hands. They're like,
right,
yeah, I don't know what
right.
this is.
Which, not to get too far down this, like, tangent, but, like, even
no,
with my first name, even with my first name, which is, like, not a radically uncommon name, like, Celeste,
no, Celeste
like,
yeah, it's just
I
there.
Don't know that many, but, like, it's a name. And people do not know what to do with it. Like, when I go to Starbucks, I listen for Chelsea. Chelsea is
oh,
the name.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
so,
just wrong.
I'm like, I don't know how you get Chelsea by looking at my name, but that's, pretty common so.
Yeah, that feels wrong. That's just rough. See, I say this from I can't even like empathize. I don't know, because I just got the most basic name. Like, I just got Logan and then the color. Like, it's not hard,
right?
You know, so it's very simple. So I could say I would say I feel for you, but I can't lie to you. I don't know. I have no idea. Right. I sympathize for the pain
right,
of hearing
right.
Chelsea when it's just not even. That's rough.
Yeah, you know, it's a small price to pay for like a unique name. Like,
it
I'm
is,
the only
yeah.
one of me, so there you go.
That's true. Think of how many Logan Whites exist in the world. Too many. There's just,
but only there's, one you.
That's right. There it is. That's the spirit to have. So I wanted to, I guess, just ask, you know, from, you know, working in music, and I saw that you worked with Friendship for a while, right? Doing
yeah.
doing keyboard for them. So how did that come together, and what is that like, or what was that like?
Yeah, it's funny enough, I still play with them now and then, but I, so the short version of the story is like my super close collaborator and friend, Dan Sadin, he like plays with me, he produced Suck Up, like super involved in the Talker project. He also used to play with them and used to live with James from Friendship, and, yeah, I met Dan at, like, a writer's meetup in L.A., like, literally, like, a month after I moved here. It was one of those very rare serendipitous things, you know, where you only get a few of those in your life.
Sure,
and,
there you go.
Yeah, and so...
That's true, yeah.
We, he and I started writing together a bit, and it was, like, right around the same time that they had their big song Capsize blow up, and, you know, they started getting all these, like, tour offers and all this stuff that happens when you get, like, a wildly viral pop hit.
Yeah,
especially,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
in 2016 when that was, like, really a thing that happened
a lot.
That
was it. Yeah, absolutely.
And so, yeah, so they needed a keyboardist for touring, but they also needed it to be someone who – they were trying to find, like, a girl who could come on tour and sing that lead vocal
at
the live show as well, kind of double down on it. And yeah, Dan suggested me, and I met up with them, and you know, we went, you know, they had me like play some of the songs and kind of test it out and everything, and got some beers, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And it worked out, and I started touring with them, and it was honestly wild, because I had only moved here to LA like a few months prior to when this tour took off. And so I really knew, like, nothing, which, you know, it was interesting because, like, no one really knew anything, even though they had also all been out here doing it for a while. Like, no one had really toured to that caliber, because no one had that level of success yet. And so it was, you know, all of us were kind of learning on the fly, but
absolutely.
But I was, like, I kind of became, like, this, like, little sister figure in a lot of ways, because I was just, like, so much younger than all of them. I had just turned 21 at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were all in their late 20s, early 30s. And
sure,
so
yeah.
It was kind of this cool thing where I ended up getting this, like, these, like, brothers, like, this family unit in L.A. And
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I, they kind of, I still work with them a lot, but they, you know, they've had such a wild journey of their own as far as like label and management and figuring out what their right path is. And so, which has been kind of cool to watch, like, from the background, because they're very open with me about like what their situations are and like what, you know, just so that I kind of know and I can learn and use that for my own experiences.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, like, they just got off this run opening for this guy, Eric Nam, who's like a K-pop crossover guy.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and he... they were doing acoustic sets, and so it was just the two of them, and Brett got sick, which...
No.
I don't think it was coronavirus. I'm just saying that right now. Everybody's like, oh my God. But anyway, he got sick. And so James was like, hey, can you learn all of Brett's acoustic parts and come up to San Francisco with me tomorrow? So I like randomly played with them in San Francisco on Tuesday of this past
that's awesome.
Week. So it's like, it's fun. You know, we have that kind of relationship. But yeah, it's been cool. It's just like been a really cool learning experience. And it definitely helped me like, get to know a lot of people who have been really supportive and helpful for the talker stuff.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. They've, you're right. I mean, it's been interesting watching kind of their career trajectory, right? Cause it like, you know, when obviously in 2016 was when, you know, Capsize was just taking off. Right. And you get like 500 million streams. You're like, what the hell is happening? Right. And
yeah,
you know, it's, so it's very strange. And obviously, you know, Columbia and everything after that. Right. It's such an interesting thing, but I think it's, you know, such a, music, like going through music, and obviously you know this, you know, from being close to them, but just in general, it's such like you never know what's going to happen, right? Everyone's path is such so wildly different, you know. There's no wrong way to do it, you know. It's never anything like that, but it's just such a strange thing when you see, like, especially like you said in 2016 when viral hits were just left and right, and then sort of, you know, with Lil Nas X and how that came to be, and now you've got TikTok and everything that's coming up with that. It's kind of, you just watch it and you wonder how it's all going to unfold out in like a year and a half for them, you know?
Well, and it's so interesting because it's like, you know, they were planning on quitting this project when they put that song out.
Yeah.
Because they were just like over it and nothing had taken off. And then it was like obviously a great problem to have, like I would love to have this problem, but you know, they put out this song, it was hugely successful, they got all these offers, they got all these people who wanted to be involved, but they didn't really have like other music ready to go. They didn't know what they wanted to be doing. You know, when you don't have a slow build, there's pros and cons, because a slow build, you're like, oh my God, this is taking so fucking long.
Right.
But you're like slowly building like loyal fans, you're getting a lot of experience. Like I have a ton of touring experience at this point, and like it's only growing. Whereas they were kind of flying by the seat of their pants. And like you know, you adjust and you learn, and like you said, there's no right path and everybody's is so different. But it's definitely something. And like at the time, like the Chainsmokers were huge, and so people were like, oh my God, we want to make you this, we want to make you that, and they're like, this
absolutely.
Is not what we want, so
right,
you know, it's been super interesting. It's an interesting case study.
No, it is. Yeah, there's so much, like, I would love, like, if I'm sure there is like people studying it, but it's just the attention span, right, is so up and down, and you just never know what you're gonna get.
Yeah.
And even the Chainsmokers now, like, I don't, it's not like, it's not even like in a disrespect, I just don't know like what's going on with them, you know, like,
right,
I know they put
exactly.
out an album out last, like end of last year, but they're not like an album band, you know, so
they're
right. playing
it's
an album,
like their moment has kind of with no disrespect, like,
yeah,
their
no,
moment
absolutely,
has
yeah.
come and gone a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
And which every artist that like reaches that level of success, that's inevitable. I think they knew that would happen, but
oh yeah, I mean, they had a hell of a run though. I mean, you have, like, I'm looking at their, you know, Wikipedia now, and you see like a five times platinum single, and you see seven times, and you see diamond with, you know, Closer, and it's just like, eventually that was going to end. Like, that's just not how that, you know, it's, but at the same time, I guess they did have like a somewhat, you know, like a platinum single last year, so they're still around, you know. It's just, you're not going to have a diamond single every time, you know.
Right. Well, and they have the perfect setup where they can just do like Vegas shows for the rest
of
their
absolutely.
Lives if they wanted to.
Yeah, that's the dream, just to do a residency and be like, all right. I mean, just what everyone does now. Like Backstreet Boys did it forever, but now they're on tour, I guess. But eventually it wears off. But I would do that. I think there's nothing wrong with it. If I could sit in one area, specifically Vegas and just get paid a lot of money, I would probably do it.
I know, you know? Right? That's a sore spot for me though, because I had tickets to see the Jonas Brothers on my birthday in 3 weeks at their Vegas residency. I love the Jonas Brothers so much, and they just today announced that they're canceling. Not even postponing, just straight up canceling.
Really? They're not even going to reschedule it?
They're not even rescheduling. They're just giving refunds. And I was like, wow, this is tragic. Like, I knew this wouldn't happen. My birthday's on April 8th. And I was like, you know, probably, like, maybe it'll be fine. But I was like, no, there's no way they're going to do it. I'm sure they'll postpone. But I was like, you know what? At least it'll probably happen in, like, October, November. It's fine.
Yeah.
But
no. They said, fuck you, Celeste, and your birthday.
They did. They really did. I know. I'm like, wow, this is a personal attack, but whatever.
Yeah.
I am being personally affected by it. You're being personally attacked by
it. Wow. Yeah. I mean, listen, Nick Jonas can't. He's got, what is it? The things that makes you more susceptible to it are diabetes, which obviously, unfortunately, he has. And then, you know, being over 65 or 55, something like that, you know, so. But I imagine they're, you know, taking more precautions by just being, you know what, we'll just cancel. But I'm surprised they don't reschedule it. That's what's surprising.
Well, that was the thing where I totally knew that was coming. But I was, I was surprised to see they didn't reschedule. But, I mean, honestly, like, I'm glad that all this stuff is getting canceled. Like, I mean, it sucks, obviously. Like, it's really hard, like, financially for a lot of people. But it's that whole, like, flattening the curve thing that's been going around. It's like, you know, we can minimize it and hopefully be over with it faster.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I will say, not to rub salt in the wound, but the Jonas Brothers were good live in 2019. At least when I saw them, they were great.
Oh, don't worry. I saw them three times in the fall.
Oh, well, what the hell? Okay. All right. So there's no real issue here. Like, it's going to be the same set. All right, I hear you.
But it's just like, you know, in Vegas for their residency on my birthday, like, man, getting drunk in Vegas. Like, that was the plan.
That's
no, I went and
all right, I hear you. That's fair.
You know, I was never, but the thing about it was that growing up, I never saw them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why. I just, like, either we were always, like, out of town with my family, or, like, my mom didn't want to, like, pay for the ticket. I don't even know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
For whatever reason, I never saw them growing up. So it was, like, 13 years of this buildup.
Sure.
And so I got a ticket to every. Like every LA all show. Right.
So, yeah, you know, I'll be honest, I feel a little bit less bad now, just a little bit, but like the birthday sting still sucks. So, I'll give you that. I'll give you half credit for the birthday, but not for the lack of seeing them, because obviously you've seen them.
I know. You know, I'm just greedy.
Yeah, I get it. Listen, I mean, I had never seen them until last fall, and that was partly because I was like, well, their tickets are expensive and I am broke, and, you know, also this. And it sold out almost instantly when they were going on tour, you know. But the other more societal part of that was, it's a high school boy. Do I want to get, like, I was listening to them. Like, I didn't care. I would listen to them. But I was also like, man, do I want to go? Like, my friend, like, I know a lot of friends are going to be there. But, like, what if, like, it was stupid, you know. But I grew up in rural, like, small town. Like, my graduating class was 92 people. So, very small. Like, it's not gonna be great if they're like, oh, he went to see the Jonas Brothers. I'm like, but yes, hey, fuck you,
great place
I did
to pick up chicks.
Yeah, hey.
So there you go.
that's true. So, you know, seeing them now, I was like, you know what, it's cool to like the Jonas Brothers now, which it is.
It is.
It's kind of messed up, but it is.
I have no shame about it. That's like the one thing I allow myself to be like very into with zero irony, zero shame, like, just love them.
Oh yeah,
big fan.
It's I've got no shame with like anything now. Like, I'll just be like, yeah, I'm listening to Jonas Brothers, or I'm listening to Limp Bizkit, let's go. Like, I'm fine. Like, I've got in the office here, I've got Live Laugh Limp Bizkit hanging up in the office, so like, I'm fine.
Oh,
like,
my god,
it's great.
It's great. I have tickets to the 15th anniversary Nickelback All the Right Reasons tour.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. You can appreciate that.
I can really appreciate that. I wrote a whole article about Nickelback, so I'm there. Like,
dude, before you had ever like known of Talker or any of these things.
Oh, no.
I saw your Nickelback article, so I obviously, like, immediately followed you on Twitter, because I was like, who is this person? But I, like, you don't understand, like, I truly, like, sent it around to my friends, and I was like, yo, read this, like, Love Nickelback. Amazing. Yes, it's a real thing.
I love it. Yeah, they're one of those bands that even it's really odd because like I would like I was like as a kid like oh I don't want to see the Jonas Brothers, but I would have seen Nickelback and I'd be like fuck I saw Nickelback so much as a kid. Like they were my like one of my first concerts in, like 05 or like 06 was like their tour was like the ultimate dad rock tour, which was like them and like Hinder and like Three Days Grace and Hoobastank. And it was so good. Yeah, that was the time.
I feel like it wasn't like uncool to like them yet at that time, you know.
It was pretty bad. Like
it was bad, but it wasn't like the societal hatred of Nickelback, for example. Yeah. Like I feel like that set in later. But
it was really sad for them. I guess I can't say I feel bad because they're fucking loaded with money. Like I'm sure they don't even give a shit. But right. you know, it was just really strange. Like. Because, yeah, that was, like, when they were really fucking peaking at that time, like, 05. Then I think their album after that, everyone was like, oh, this is just the same. And it's like, mm-hmm. they've been making the same song for, like, 10 years already. By this point, I don't know what, like, the line in the sand was, like, 08. And it's like, they've been sounding the same forever, you know? So,
yeah.
But it's fine. We stand Nickelback.
I mean, we really do.
this podcast really stands Nickelback. So, I would love to, like, interview them. Like, I hope I can I sent out an email to their publicist already.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, FYI, I wrote this article just 8 months ago and they're like, yeah, we already know. I was like, ah, well, thank you, I guess. Like, I don't know if that's good or bad, but
right. we'll but see how that goes. They have seen your work.
They have seen it. Yeah.
So
yeah. I mean they liked a tweet that I sent out about it. So like either they saw it and read it or they're like, yeah, haha, cool. Why Nickelback right. doesn't suck? We know we don't suck, you know? So.
right. I mean, it's true. It's like, on the one hand, like, I feel bad about the backlash, like, emotionally. Like, I'm sure that they, like, I'm sure that Chad Kroeger genuinely, like, did not appreciate being voted the ugliest rock star. Like, that's so fucked up.
It is.
And, like, honestly, like, I don't personally, like, find him attractive, but he's not, like, objectively, like, an whatever.
No,
anyway,
yeah.
I'm just, like, it's so dumb. but that said, I mean, yeah, they're, like, multi-platinum. So,
yeah.
Like, they're
They've
selling
got
out.
Two diamond records. Yeah, they're fine.
They have a ton of fans.
Yeah.
They're fine.
yeah, absolutely. I think they've even made jokes on Twitter about it or something like that. Like, I think I'm pretty sure I've seen them, like, have, like, a semi-viral tweet from, like, roasting themselves. Like, or something. It was very strange. The internet is very odd in like 2019 and 2020, so it's, I don't know. I just can't wait. We have gotten way off track, but it's fine. I mean, Nickelback deserves the attention anyway.
It's true. That's what I came here to talk about, so.
I mean, listen, if we did, I could spend a whole, like, don't doubt that I could spend a whole like hour just discussing. And maybe we'll have to revisit this and do like a whole hour and just breaking down every Nickelback
dedicated.
Album. Oh, yes. Man. I could do it. I could do a whole lot of things with that, so. yes. We will potentially revisit that, but I guess to get somewhat back on track here, you put out an EP last week, right? Wax.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess tell me a bit about that. What that was like for you to have something, because I know you've been releasing singles up to that, and I guess to kind of collectively put out Wax and be like here it is, and then you did a release show for that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean. Like the timing worked out where we were able to do everything, so that was great. But yeah, it's an interesting process, like working on this EP, because I had self-released an EP like a little over a year ago, and that was the first like talker thing.
Yeah.
And I'm still really proud of that record, but it's like definitely like my first record, you know. And it's like I think that the development from horror films to Wax is like you can really hear it, and it sounds very natural. It just sounds like an evolution of that sound, and it's very like where I'm at now. So I'm really happy with how that came out. But it's funny because I didn't really set out being like, okay, I'm working on the next record. I'm working on an EP. You know, it was just like this whole record. It's like there's not one producer. Like there's a few different producers because. I write a lot of music with my friends, and they're all dope producers. And so kind of like whatever I wrote with someone, like I would have them produce it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was a really organic process the way it came together. Cause I genuinely just like got together with my friends and was like, oh, like let's make some music, let's write, whatever. And these were the songs that kind of felt like a collection and felt very representative of where I was at, both musically and like personally. And so, yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it all came together. And so it's kind of funny though, because it came together really slowly in a lot of ways, because again, I wasn't like, I need to write songs for a record. I was just like writing music as I felt like it. But then at the end, it came together really, really fast, because we were like, oh, these songs have taken forever to get together, but now we like need to release it. Ah, here we go. So it's kind of, it's like, I'm sure that like Jamie or like anybody on my team or like with Common Ground, they'd all be like, this also came together really last minute. So don't go saying how long it took. But no, it really did. So that's kind of just how I operate. I have a hard time writing a ton of music while I'm in the middle of releasing something. There's just so much to do at this point. Like I'm super lucky that I do have some people that are like on, you know, who have my back and are like reaching out to people for me and helping out. But I'm still like an independent artist, and that's, you know, I'm the one steering the ship. And
absolutely.
Predominantly me and for a lot of things. And so it's just, you know, there's so much that goes into releasing music and there's always like an email to be sent or like an asset to put together or whatever the fuck it is.
You know, as the
recipient, the other side of those emails. And so it's like, I have a really hard time feeling super creative. I definitely feel like inspired and excited while I'm working on it, but it's like very focused on that moment. And so, yeah, I don't know. My workflow, like my process for writing, ends up being that I'm like really, really focused on a release, and then I like don't think about it at all for like 6 months, and I'm just writing. And that's kind of what happened in writing Wax. You know, it was just like, I need to let myself take some time to be creative and not think about it too much.
Yeah, that's it's tough, because like, you know, I get the, you know, as the flip side of it is like when I like start writing about something, or from like for example, like the Nickelback piece, I was like, okay, like I want to do this, and then I put it together, like I started thinking about like what specifically I talk about, and I was like, all right, well now what? Like I didn't know how to expand it into like 1,000 words or whatever it is. And so like it's very like it's vastly different than like sitting down, like writing a song, writing the music, putting it all together, but just like the creative processes of like sometimes like forcing yourself to be like, ah, well, I have an EP coming out in a month. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Like I don't know. Then you gotta sit down and think about how much you've got left, and it's like, ah, yes, here's 12 emails out, and I hope they all get sent. Like I hope they all get received by the right people. You know, so I get like it's just it's a hard process, I'm sure, like especially if you, but at this point I guess, you know, having, if you have a hard deadline, then it becomes a little bit more of like reality sets in of how little time you've got left or how much time you've got left in other aspects.
Yeah. And I mean, I like having some sort of deadline set because, you know, I think it, you know, it goes without saying, it just makes it so much easier to like actually get stuff done. But it is something where I kind of go back and forth where I'm like, it's kind of arbitrary. Like I'm just putting out music. I can push this by week if I needed to, whatever. But at the same time, it's like, I am the type where I will do that to no end until everything is like perfect. And it's just like, you're never gonna like create past that.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, if you, I guess, I'm sure you probably have like, as you've, you know, start as you've been writing for a while and everything like that, but how do you know, I guess, because I had a conversation with an artist about 2 years ago, and it was actually one of the guys from Mayday Parade, and they were talking about their new album at the time, and they were talking about how when they write, there becomes a time when they've got to just like shut the fuck up and just let the song be what it is, you know, and because you can get so bogged down in the process of like writing and saying, we've got to get this done, but maybe it's not good enough, and then it ends up, you know, being fine, or in their specific case, what ended up being the biggest moment of their career was Miserable at Best. They couldn't figure out what the fuck they wanted to do with it. And then here it is, it's a platinum single 10 years later or whatever, you know? So I guess, have you had, you know, the experience of like having to force yourself to just kind of lay off a song and then just let it go and just let it kind of send it out to the world and be like, here it is. I'm just kind of on it, but you know, not on it, but you're like, you, maybe there's more you wanted to do to it, but decided you couldn't.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think, like, for example, I am not at all on Suck Up.
Yeah, yeah.
I fucking love that song.
That's not the right word to use there, yeah.
However, like, that one, so I wrote that with my friend Dan, and we had probably, like, 5 writing sessions to try to get that shit to come together, and it was, like... The melodies and lyrics that we ended up using were, like, the first ones that we had come up with.
Yeah.
You know? And it's, like, you look back on it and you're, like, wow. I mean, and you have to go through all of those processes to come, you know, to circle back and get to that point. But I do think that I used to really, really over-edit. I used to edit a lot. I used to get really heady with my lyrics. And I still like to, like... throw some like poeticism, like imagery shit in there. Yeah. Like lyrics, I'm like care so much about lyrics. It's like my main thing that I care about. But I think I used to over edit to a fault.
Yeah.
And now I try to like kind of not edit. Like I'll go in and I'll edit things, especially if there's something where I'm writing a verse and I'm like, okay, I know this needs to be fine tuned.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I won't necessarily go in for this like. Go into edit for the sake of editing. Like if I write a dope chorus and I'm singing it 3 days later and I'm like, this is cool, I like that's the thing that naturally came out, which means that that's the thing I naturally wanted to say and absolutely. Express, you know, and anything else would sound forced. So I think there's a balance, you know. That's not to say that you shouldn't like refine your work.
Yeah, I do
care about that a lot, but I don't know, I think there's a balance, and I think I have finally found a workflow that works well for me in that.
Yeah.
Talk to me in 2 months after I've been writing.
We'll see about that.
And maybe it's not, but as of now, I'm trying to just really write as much as I can without editing while I'm doing it. Just like, write good stuff and then come back and see if there's anything that really needs it.
Right. So at a certain point, I mean, you just trust your gut, right? And just say, well, this is kind of where it came from, and that's maybe where it should be.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's so interesting because I think it's, especially, maybe sort of maybe now, but when I was, first started writing about music, so I'd never had the talents to actually write the music. So I was like, well, what the hell else can I do? I mean, that's, so that's kind of how I felt of this, but I didn't, I guess understand, or maybe back then just didn't care 10 years ago how the process worked behind it. And I was just like, how long it takes to either write an album and record it and then put it out, and just that's just one side of it, but the actual people behind it that have to be like, all right, well, this is, like you said, just you have to trust it and just say this is all you can do, right? And just but other times edit it until it gets to what you feel like it should be, so it's kind of hard, I'm sure, like deciding, when that time comes of just being like, all right, well, this is, for example, I wrote this chorus first for this one song and I like it, but the first chorus I wrote for this song, don't like it as much, right? So it's interesting, I think. There's a whole lot of buzz behind that I just can't necessarily comprehend because I've never done it. So it's so interesting to hear people talk about like what their specific process is, because that's another thing that, once again, there's no right or wrong way to do it. However you write and record is kind of how you do it. And then that's all you can do with it is based off your own experience.
Yeah. And I really, it's so true. And like, I try to toe the line too of like, I'm an artist, I'm putting out music. Like I can really say whatever, like I can put out whatever I want to put out. It's just like, am I happy with that? But at the end of the day, like there are so many songs out there where like nothing makes sense. No, like, you know what I mean? It's like, so I think it just really depends on the song and like, Suck Up took so many writing sessions, whereas Keep Me Safe, I wrote in like one sitting. I came back to it a few days later and I was like, should I edit? Let me see. And then I was like, no.
Yeah.
So, I think it's just going to depend and just like being open to making changes and improving is important. But I think, at one point you got to trust your gut and be like, this is actually what I want.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And like you said, you are the artist, so you can essentially say whatever you want in your music, and that's what it's there for. So I think that's such a unique and quite interesting way, I guess, legit way of looking at it, is saying, you know what, I can do whatever I want. And yeah. Especially, you know, as an independent artist, there's no one to stand over you. Like, well, maybe you should right. do this instead. Like, you know, and I don't know how much that happens. I guess I haven't talked, or when I talk to artists that are on labels, they're not actively gonna shit on their label for looking over them. But I'm always curious if that ever happens. Like, if people are still,
I mean,
like,
it definitely does. I think it's less prevalent than maybe it was in the past. But
yeah,
again, it just varies. Like, I know a couple. You know, I have a couple friends on labels who have so much freedom in what they create, yeah. and it's amazing for them. And then I have some that like really feel restricted by what they are able to release.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah.
I think it just depends. But yeah, there was like it was a really liberating moment when I did have that thought of like, wait, like I am an artist. Like I can really put out anything. Cause
yeah.
I think for a long time, I just kind of cared too much. And you know, you know what I mean by that.
Yeah,
I don't
absolutely.
Mean like now I don't care.
Don't
like I care
shit,
so
yeah.
much, but I cared too much about like, what am I saying? What am I putting out there? What is the impression that people will have of me? What is the image that I'm putting out as an artist?
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
no one, like any of that ends up being super contrived. So
yeah, absolutely.
Just do what feels good, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And it's, I guess, I'm sure you have that better understanding of how often it happens. It's just such a like strange thing to think about, because there's so, it's interesting that there's labels or people at labels, I guess, that still control it, as if there's any real formula to this whole thing. You know, that's one part,
right.
I guess I've never understood why you're like, for the example, their friendship, people like wanting to turn them into chain smokers. It's like, well, it's not necessarily work like that, right? I mean, you could sit there, because if we could all craft the perfect band that's going to sound like the Chainsmokers in 2012 or whenever they first blew up, I guess, and people would have done it, you know, and,
right.
but you can't. So it's interesting to think that there's still people trying to predict what's going to be the next big hit. And especially with like these apps like TikTok, where just, I don't know if anyone would have seen the Nas X coming out of nowhere with the
right.
song that was a minute and 52 seconds long. I mean, that's just, it's so strange to think that we're still like, hey, this is going to work and we're just going to force you to do it and hope it works out. You know, and then if it doesn't work out, it's going to drop you off our label and go to the next one. You know, so that's always
right.
been
no,
the shitty part.
It's so weird. And like, everybody's just shooting in the dark, you know,
yeah,
like
absolutely.
no one knows anything. Like everything is so fan driven, which is why it's like, honestly, a very encouraging thing for me, because, you know, as I start to like, sometimes like talk with like someone who's like on the label side of things
yeah.
or, you know, a management side of things or anything, it's like that's all fine and great. And like, most of those aren't going to pan out. Maybe some of those will turn
yeah.
into relationships, like who knows. But at the end of the day, like I don't even care about that very much, because everything is driven by listeners. Everything is driven by fans. Like I care about touring. I care about putting music out. I
yeah.
care about connecting with listeners. And that's what, whether you're like on this indie rock scale of things or you're fucking Billie Eilish, like she wasn't like an industry plant, you know what
yeah,
I
absolutely.
Mean like
yeah.
people just listened to her song and loved it and there it went, and it's like no one can recreate that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people would see right through it too. I mean, you would imagine, right, if someone came out and,
totally.
I mean, they were like, I'm gonna sound like Billie Eilish, like, oh, okay. I mean, not that her music's bad, but I think if you really try to sit down and like force yourself to do it, because people aren't going to care. And you know,
right.
it's so interesting that people can just kind of see right through it, you know, what sounds
yeah.
legitimate, what sounds like you actually want to do it, and what sounds like you're just trying to get rich and loaded off people's money, you know, so
right.
that's disappointing, but that's not what we're doing. So, so what do you, I know you said you're focused on like touring and kind of connecting with people and everything like that. So what is it like, you know, for you, you know, taking Talker that's entirely you and just not entirely kind of your child, in the sense of it's everything that you want to do with it. What is it like taking that out on the road and knowing that everything you're singing, everything about it is just entirely you, and it's not like you're this isn't a bad thing either, but not like you're just a keyboardist and, you know, friendship, right? Not that you're just
right.
like a small part in someone else's band, right? It's kind of entirely yours. So what is that like for you to go out and be like, this is all me and I'm just entirely vulnerable up on this stage for the next 30 minutes and here we go?
Yeah. What is it like? It's expensive. No, it's really...
That's true, yeah. It is.
No, it's really, really great, honestly. Like, I think it's really validating, like, this tour that I did in January. No, I was not selling, like, 500 cap venues.
Oh,
we were doing, like, you know, 1 to 200 cap rooms.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of them were super full and some of them were, like, half full.
Yeah.
And, you know, it varies from place to place. But everywhere, there were people who had listened to my music
and who
cared about it and connected with it. And I was like, oh, like, how did you, like... This is not, are you sure this is the show that you meant to come
to?
I'm like, where did you even find this? Which I'm all about making it super accessible. Like, I put it out there. I hope people find it.
Yes.
But I'm like, how did you find it? Like, what?
So, maybe they showed it to the wrong bar, the wrong venue, and you're like,
right.
Hopefully you like it enough to stay.
I'm like, I tricked you into coming
here.
But no, it's really special. I think, you know, and I think that it's just like, a really important thing to do as an artist of any size. You know, I think that there are some people who are of this school of thought that like touring isn't really worth it until you are able to like hit a certain number.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the thing is like everybody that you actually connect with in person, those are people that are going to remember that and that are going to show up for you again and tell their friends.
Yeah.
You know, they become, instead of being like a passive listener, they become an active fan.
Sure, absolutely.
And I think that, you know, it's like, so that's super important as far as just like a growth perspective. And then also it's just like validating, you know, I think I'm lucky in the sense that like, as far as what I do along with Talker, you know, I like do other stuff for money because Talker hasn't made me rich just yet.
Not yet. But, it's coming. Yeah. There you go.
But like I work remotely and so I'm really lucky that like I don't have to like take time off when I tour.
Sure.
So I definitely, you know, I'm speaking from a place where like I acknowledge that not everybody else can do that.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Said,
yeah, for
it's
sure.
Like touring is the main thing that I really enjoy doing. I mean, I love writing music and everything, but like I love touring. Like some people like, you know, there are plenty of musicians who don't love it, but they do it because they have to. But like, I love touring. And I love like being with my band and my friends and like being in all these different places. And I really genuinely enjoy it. And so for me, I'm like, even if I'm doing like, you know, like playing to 50 people in each at each market, like that's great. And I'm touring and I like, why wouldn't I? You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, it is expensive, but it's cool that it's such a, you know, I think a gratifying thing in the sense of that it is, you know, showing up to, you know, I don't know, for example, showing up to just a random city, right, somewhere in the Midwest, and there's, you know, even 60 kids are there, and it sounds like a small number, and I guess in some grand scheme of things that it is, but at the same time, there's 60 people on fucking some small suburb of Indiana that you're like, all right, well, you're here, I guess. So like,
right.
Like I said, I don't know what the hell brought you here. I mean, obviously you do, but it's so cool to think about that there is just 60 people somewhere in a random city or 100, 200 people, whatever it might be, that decide that they were going to come and they were going to see you and that's it. You know, you don't just happen to be there. I mean, it's very intentional. That's what they came for.
And like, I don't know them. They're not like my family friends.
They're on the guest list.
Like
yeah.
Yeah. And then you think about like 60 people is small, but you do that enough times. They tell enough of their friends. It's
right.
Like,
yeah.
That is what leads to growth.
Sure.
So
absolutely.
I'm a big fan of touring. If you can like pull it off financially, I'm a big fan of just like touring as early as you can and as much as you can.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because I think, you know, unless you're looking for a, you know, slow put up for the internet, which you can do, you know, there's not necessarily that wrong way to do it through the internet, but I think you're, like you say, either just taking shots in the dark, right? I mean, you're just hoping it blows up and then, you know, I guess, and then, not to keep comparing to Lil Nas X, but I don't think he tours. I don't think he does anything. I think he just does songs. He pops up at, you know, award shows and says, I'm here, and then goes home. You know, so that's definitely like not a, easy thing to replicate, you know, but and it's not easy to replicate success through touring, but you've seen that at least done and done so many times that you get the idea of, all right, if I do this enough times, there's a greater chance that this will work than just putting songs on SoundCloud and hoping it blows up, you know.
Well, and there's a tangible element to it where you're like making genuine connections with people and like really like reaching out to people and creating memories for them besides just like streaming your music while they're working, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's tough. It's I've never toured. I've always wanted to, but I've also been like, damn, like how do I do it? Like, how would I, like, what would I do? You know, and what the hell am I going to do on tour? You know, but it's just the idea of, you know, certainly traveling. Traveling is one aspect of it, you know, and it's always great to travel. I'm a big fan of traveling, you know, so that's such a cool thing, but it's just that it is all you, you know. I think that's probably the end of it, you know. That's probably just the underlying thing of like what makes it so special for you, that yes, people are there for you and you could go anywhere and people show up, right? You know, so and it's only going to get better, it's only going to get bigger, you know. The more you do it, the more it goes, and maybe we'll do this again and who knows how long, and you'll be like, oh, I played in front of 1,000 people. And it's like, there we go. You know?
Right. That's the trajectory that you try to hit.
That's right. So we've got about, let's say, if we were in 6 months, do 1,000 people in 6 months, that's it. That's how it's going to get. We'll speak it into
existence. Yes, that's exactly how it works.
Yeah.
No, but I will say, like, like, for example, so one artist that I really, really love and look up to a lot and always cite as like a huge influence for me is Mitski. I started following her a long time ago. Not to be like, I started following her a long time ago. And she was like playing house shows. She's doing solo tours playing house shows. And it's like she really fucking like was on the road all the time.
Yeah.
That's why she's like kind of dropped off the map for a second right now.
Yeah.
But like she just like toured the shit out of her music and like connected with people. And, you know, I mean, there's always a million other factors too.
Sure.
And, you know, but that is something that I always look back on with, you know, just like a lot of respect and feeling super inspired by that kind of thing where it's like, you just don't stop doing that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting because the first time that I heard of her was when the Pixies did took her on tour, and I was like, well, what the fuck is this? Oh, that's crazy, you know.
Yeah.
And then they were part of the next thing I saw after that tour was they were part of like a compilation album that was like raising money against like Donald Trump's policies, things like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is so like weird. And then it became like I would see like Mitski like so many random places, and it's like doing so many random things. But it was all obviously, you know, things that they wanted to do, but it was just like I would just not stop seeing them. You know, so it's crazy to think that it's just how it works most of the time. Or it's more tried and true than anything else, you know. So
yeah. And I think there's more longevity in it. Like,
yeah.
Again with the whole no disrespect thing. Like, no disrespect to Lil Nas either.
Yeah.
But like, we're not gonna be listening to Old Town Road and having him come and do appearances 5 years from
now. Sure. Yeah. You know? Absolutely.
So I do think that's the long way to success.
Yeah.
So the, you know, maybe you're gonna get a longer career out of that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he's just, I don't even know if he's thinking about like what the hell 5 years from now is looking. I don't know if I would be either if I were him.
I know. Right?
I'd just be racking up the millions, some follower he's got on Twitter. Like, I can just say whatever I want and people are going to make a meme out of it. Like, he is just, I don't even think, I don't know. I would love to like spend a day with him. Like, it would be so interesting.
It really would. I mean, I've heard that he's a really nice person.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I maybe, you know, I could see him having like a talk show or something.
That would be sweet. Like if he could...
Like, I feel like that's the path for like when you have that kind of success, but it's like so clearly one off. But then,
because
like at this point, he's not famous for his song even. He's just like a like famous personality.
Yeah.
So,
no, absolutely.
Like he should definitely get a talk show.
He should. I think it'd be fun. Like it's cool because we're like, yeah, I don't know how much, you know, famous he is. Like. For, you know, the song, but I think at this point it's kind of weird to think like it feels so long ago. Like I don't know why.
Yeah.
Like I think of Old Town Road, like God, it was like, but it was like just last year. But it was just, and it was such a big song for so long, like being number one for like 3 months or 4 months.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, I forgot that was just last year. You know, and
I know.
guess, and maybe it's just because I don't know what he's like. I don't know if he's doing anything else aside from that EP that he put out, and maybe he
Right.
just doesn't need to. I mean, but it's crazy because like I'm looking at the sales for that EP, and like this sale, like it's a platinum EP, but it sold like 4,000 copies, and I'm like, oh yeah, streaming. When you have the most
Right.
successful like streaming song potentially, like at least ever. I don't know ever, but yeah, that'll do it. That
Yeah.
diamond certified Old Town Road country song. That's
So
sweet.
insane.
Yeah. So
It's
all you need to do is make a country like a rap song and then boom, that's it.
true.
I'm waiting
That's where the
for it.
bulk of sales are, so
It
country
is.
music, man.
Hey, talk about a genre that's never died. Country music has like never gone anywhere. Like it's
I
always just
know.
been around. So that's not a bad idea.
Can be my backup for if this doesn't
If this
pan
doesn't work out, we're gonna become a country. There you
out.
go.
Yep.
I love it. I love it. You can start on YouTube. Listen, who's your favorite country artist? I gotta know. If you've even
Jason,
got one.
it's I do. Jason Isbell.
Okay, that's fair.
But he's not really like,
He's
I
not
mean,
like super country,
he is
but
a country artist, but
yeah.
it's like, I don't know. It's like a songwritery
Yeah.
country.
It's not, I mean, it's very different like country music, you know. But that's what's so interesting about country music. I keep saying interesting over and over, I don't know why, but that's what's so intriguing about country music, I guess, is that it's, you know, you look at him, you say, this is very much country music, right? But you could look at Lil Nas X and like, well, Old Town Road's sort of country, right? And then you think of someone like Toby Keith that's been making the same country song for 25 years, and you're like, this is
Right.
absolutely country, you know? But it all just
Yeah.
somehow falls under that weird umbrella of this is country. We could throw all three of those artists on a country festival and nobody would complain. So.
Right, exactly. So it's pretty wild. I mean, I guess Jason Isbell, it's like if you really got into it, it's like more Americana, but
Yeah,
not, I don't even
sure,
know. Like,
yeah.
again, exactly. You're right. It's like it's a huge umbrella.
It is. It's very large. And I will say, if we're talking about Jason Isbell, my favorite song by him is probably Cover Me Up. And I don't know, like, why? But I just listen to that song all
So
the time.
good.
I'm like, this song like
So good.
hurts, but it's really
Yeah.
good. Like it's a good pain, you know? So
It's a great pain. And like, not to nerd out too hard
that's
here,
fine.
but
That's what we're
like
here for.
as a lyrics person, like, I'm sorry, those opening lyrics, a heart on the run keeps a hand on a gun. You can't trust anyone. I was
Yeah.
so sure what I needed was more and had to shoot out the sun. I'm sorry. Like, that's
Yeah.
so good.
It is, yeah. No, it is. Yeah, it's yeah. Now we're getting. We could go. We could do this too. We could go down the whole rabbit hole of, you know, Jason Isbell and be like, it's just such. It's good. It's very good. I guess I
It's
could see it
just
being
good.
Americana, but I'm just gonna call it country because it's just so much easier just to call it country and be like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. So, eventually, I'll be looking for a country song. You should do it for fun. You should do it for fun and just see what happens.
I'll just like send it to you on my
yes, there
stream
we
private
go.
link and be like, look, I did this. Don't tell
Now
anyone.
we can shut up about it and I did it and that's it. I
Yeah.
love it. I love it. Well, I want to ask then before we go, kind of what do you have, you know, coming up? I know you obviously just put the EP out, but what do you have coming up that's either announced or maybe things that aren't announced that you can't announce here, but things are coming at least, hopefully.
Yeah. So I'm working on some touring, which obviously like is a little bit up in the air right now, with what's
Yeah.
gonna like pan out.
Sure,
But
yeah.
you know, this is a temporary situation, so there's definitely touring coming. Hopefully sooner than later. Like the plan is for early summertime, late
Okay,
spring, early summer.
yeah.
And then I'm just writing a lot, and like I just want to keep putting out music throughout the year. So hopefully, you know, if everything goes to plan, you will be getting some more talker music
Love it.
sooner than later.
Love
So,
it.
yeah.
That'd be good. There's never such thing as
Yeah.
bad talker music. There's no such thing as a bad time for talker music. So.
It's true.
That, see, that's it. That'll be the that should be the tagline. There's no such thing as bad time for talker music. That's it.
All right, I'm gonna write that down.
That's it.
That's
Yes,
gonna
write that
that'll be
down.
the that's literally going to be the name of my next record.
Bet. I'm
Oh
gonna hold you to that. I'm gonna look back at this and be like, you lied. You
no.
lied.
I know, it'll that's a great publicity stunt. You can like release a huge article about how I am a liar and should
That's
not be
a
trusted.
terrible person. We should absolutely just never listen to this again. And here's the audio proof, and that's that.
Yeah, there you go.
I love it. Love it. Well, I can't wait for it. I'm excited to see the more the merrier, really. And then, you know, touring and coming hopefully out here, that'll always be great. And then, yeah, it'll be exciting to see all how all this unfolds once we get unquarantined and we can walk outside again. And, you know, it feels like it's like a thing in the air almost that we're like being quarantined in our house. And I guess it technically is in the air, but
it is. But like, no, I know what you mean. Like literally, like I go outside and I'm like, this feels bad.
I'm just driving down the highway. I'm like, oh, I'm like bird boxing this thing pretty soon. Like.
Yeah, I did a really intense like wipe down of my car.
Yeah,
a couple days ago, so I feel good about that. But
yeah,
I'm like, what am I gonna get from the walk from my door to my car?
Yeah, see, that's it. And like, I like work in like food service outside here, so like, I'm just like always like interacting with people, and I'm like touching their money, and I'm like, I should just not. Like, I have employees to do this. I should just like sit down and just quarantine myself in an office. But you guys have fun. Let me know how the day goes. Like. I'm only here to get paid. That's it. So,
yeah.
I feel that. All right. Well, I don't have anything else. I appreciate it. I'm glad we were able to do this. And I look forward to whatever happens next. The tour with Nickelback, the tour with Jason Isbell, whatever it might be. It'll be fun.
Either would work.
Or
so
both.
I'm here
or
for
both.
It. Oh, wow. Now that's my career goal.
That is. We should pitch that to them. And they will probably tell us to shut the hell up. But you'll never know unless you try.
It's true.
There
Shoot your shot.
That's right. Perfect. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.